You'll remember back to last week, we talked about unfulfilled prophecies. We went through several prophecies that we saw could not possibly have been fulfilled until the last 60 years or so, really up from the time of World War II till now. We looked at how, with the invention of the hydrogen bomb, it suddenly became possible for mankind to destroy every bit of life as we know it on this planet. And we know that happened in 1955. We also looked to something that happened in 1948, which was the establishment of Israel once again as a country. If you remember, we ended last week looking at a prophecy in Daniel chapter 11. We're going to read that again this morning. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 11 in verse 40. At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. Now, what we have here is a prophecy that appears to be a major clash between what's known as the king of the north and the king of the south. And this leads right in to the end time events. Now, this is kind of a clash of civilizations, you might say. We very well could be talking about Europe here and a clash of the Islamic world to the south. But you know what's really interesting? How many of you have read Daniel chapter 11 fully? Not very many. Quite a few have. Daniel chapter 11 is a prophetic account that was written in the 6th century B.C., when Daniel was still alive. The 6th century. And as we go through Daniel chapter 11, he's telling things in absolute detail that didn't occur for another 200 to 400 years. We look at the 2nd century, after Alexander the Great, towards the end of the 4th century B.C., when, what was his name? Antiochus, what was his last name? Epiphanes, there we go, came on the scene. Now that's a period of 200 years there. And if you go back, that's 400 years after Daniel had predicted that. And within this 200-year period, many of the prophecies that we read in the first part of Daniel, thank you, Patsy, many of the prophecies that we read in the first part of Daniel were fulfilled in this 200-year period. Now, sometimes we don't get the full impact of that. Many times when we talk about history, it just kind of goes right over our heads. Now, I'm going to give you an example what 400 years is. Think back to the year 1607, the city of Jamestown. The first people that came over from England settled in Jamestown in the United States now. It would have been as if in 1607 those people would have given us detailed examples of what's going on today in regards to Afghanistan, with regards to Iraq. Think about that. That's what we see here in Daniel. And we need to realize that, because this is one of the great proofs of the Bible and of prophecy. that these things were written some 400 years previously in detail about what would take place. Daniel wrote this in the 6th century, and it wasn't fulfilled until the 2nd century B.C. It's basically about two nations that come out of the empire of Alexander the Great. Two specific dynasties that came out of that empire. When Alexander the Great died, he had four generals that took over four different regions of his empire. Two of those became very, very prominent. You have Seleucus, who founded the Seleucid dynasty. How many of you remember that from your history? And see, I never thought my Western civilization courses in college would do me any good, but boy, was I wrong. He founded the Seleucid dynasty. That was to the north of Judah, of Israel. Okay? And it extended clear down to India, what's known today. Actually, it was from Syria to India. And we're talking about present day. The other was Ptolemy, founded the empire that was to the north, or to the south in Alexandria, which present day would be Egypt. Okay? So there's one to the north, one to the south. Who's smack in the middle? Israel. I think, well, many of you might have heard this name. The Ptolemies, you know what their last monarch was? Cleopatra. That's the last one. And she was alive right to the time the Romans took over. But these two kings and their successors kept, you might say, falling out with each other. And one would attack the other one. The other one would attack the other one. And they just kept attacking each other back and forth. Well, guess who was smack in the middle and got trampled on every time they would attack? Israel. The land of Judah. They were right in the middle. That leads us up to verse 40 that we just read. Now, suddenly, all these things had been fulfilled by the 2nd century B.C. Then, all of a sudden, we make a big jump. It says, to the end time. Why was there suddenly nothing between before Daniel 11:40 and then suddenly jumps to the end time? Well, there was something that didn't exist. That was Israel. Israel did not exist from the time of the Romans clear up to 1948. And they became a nation again. There wasn't any Judah or Israel to be writing about there, was there? Because they didn't exist. You know, I think they have existed in the lifetime of just about everybody in this room. But I'm sure a few of you can remember when Judah didn't exist. Israel didn't exist as a nation. Can any of you remember that? Sure, quite a few. They were looking for a homeland. And when they were crying out for land, what'd you have? Britain offered them Uganda. Stalin wanted them somewhere over in Siberia somewhere. But they didn't exist before that. And there really wasn't a guarantee that they ever would have a homeland once again. But God's prophecies are true. Israel became a nation again. And all the conflict that we see in that area, that's a great part of it. Because Israel is once again a nation as God so long ago told us they would be. Let's move on to the next one now. The next thing that could not have possibly been fulfilled until fairly recently. And that would be in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Verse 14, it says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Could this gospel of the kingdom have been preached to the whole world prior to World War II? No. It was not possible. You know, it's interesting when you look at the history of the Bible, you look at the different interpretations that people have of the Bible. It seems like almost every church and every denomination has their own interpretation, don't they? It was when the King James Version was first written. The year was 1611. And when you look at that, that was just after the first settlement at Jamestown in the United States. And the British Empire at that time spread this Bible all over to its colonies, all of the English-speaking people. The King James Bible got out. And you know, that's when the Bible was first introduced to the whole world. But it wasn't until after World War II, with radio and with television, that this became possible. That this gospel, with a lot of American money, could be preached to the whole world. And that really didn't come about till the 1950s. But you see, that's where we come in. That's part of our job. That's what God expects of us. That's what the Great Commission that Jesus told us is all about. Is getting this precious, precious message out of the coming kingdom of God. To give this world hope. You know what? We may not convert everybody. In fact, Jesus says that it'll be preached as a testimony, as a witness. We're not going to convert everybody. But He wants everyone to have the opportunity to hear that glorious message. We need to provide that. If we truly want to see our Lord come in our lifetime right here, we better get busy. We better get busy. Because Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world before He will return. You know, that's another prophecy that could not have been fulfilled earlier. The gospel of the kingdom was not capable of being preached to the whole world before now. You know, you look at our website. This simple church here at Brush Creek Do you realize that we have people viewing our website from all over the world? We have people from Australia downloading sermons, reading our website. We have people from Africa downloading sermons, reading our website. We have people from Europe, all over the world. Anthony is in contact with people all over the world. At the last theological conference, there were people from almost every continent that were there. How incredible is it to go and speak with someone in this nation thousands and thousands of miles away, that because of this work that Anthony was doing, he's reached them from some small quaint town or from some village in Africa. He's reached them. It's amazing, people. This message of the kingdom, it's getting out to the whole world. And we need to do our part. Not just in the whole world, but to our neighbors, to our friends, to our families. They may not believe you, but that doesn't stop our responsibility. It has to get out. You know, the next prophecy we're going to talk about, something similar. It's over in Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 3. This is another prophecy that could not be fulfilled until our time. This is a prophecy about the two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 3. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, how long is 1260 days? 3.5 years. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. In verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss, this is the same beast that you read in Revelation 17, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So what city is this? Jerusalem. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nation will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in the tomb. So how in the world is the whole world going to see these two witnesses laying dead in the street? The whole world, it says. It says peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. Well, wasn't possible until the invention of satellite television, when these things can be broadcast instantly all over the entire world. I think far more than we realize, especially here in the United States, the impact that television has had all over the world. It's really changed parts of the world. I know from talking to several that went to Africa on the mission trips, when they first started going there, they only had one, maybe two local television stations that they could watch. Well, now they're getting most of their television from the United States through satellite television. And one of the interesting things is, in Africa, it was held for many, many years that women, the larger they were, the more virile they were, the healthier they were. But then they said that shows like Baywatch and several of these other shows started coming in through the satellite television. And now, believe it or not, anorexia is a very, very serious problem with young women in Africa. You know, TV's changed everything. How about during the Iraqi war? How many of you watched CNN and saw Al Jazeera TV broadcasting all these things in? All these atrocities. All this propaganda that was spread. You know, all the evil things that the Americans did. You know, the bombing of the daycares. The bombing of the baby bottle factories. This was all presented. And let me tell you, they had a tremendous influence on people at that time. You know, I thought about it. I thought, why do people believe this nonsense? Why? Because of the influence of television. It's changing cultures. I want you to look at the majority. Turn on your TV when you get home. Look at the majority of television programs now. Oh, we've got Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Now, 30 years ago, would you have ever dreamed something like that would be on your television set? No. Look at how it's changing our society. Look at all the reality shows that are on TV today. Just seeing how bad people can be to each other. How humiliating they can be to each other. But, you know, satellite TV has also brought news to many parts of the world that never had it before. You know, I'll just tell you a little bit about Al Jazeera TV, which, by the way, is going to become available on U.S. satellites not too long from now. Al Jazeera. They show every hour of the day, some atrocity that either Western part of the world, or especially Israel, has committed against them, supposedly. Every hour of the day. And it doesn't show the other side. It just shows the bad stuff from Israel and from the United States and from Great Britain. Doesn't show the car bombers, doesn't show the terrorists that go in and blow people up. It doesn't show the rocket attacks by the Palestinians on Israel. Doesn't show any of that. It just shows the things that are done by Israel, United States, Great Britain, etc. And I came across an interesting fact. In that part of the world, their televisions are on roughly 18 hours a day. So they're basically on nonstop. So 18 hours a day 18 different times are getting bombarded with this hate for Israel, for the United States, Great Britain. What do you think that's going to do to the people? Naturally, they're going to build up hatred, aren't they? Sure. But you see, also, just exactly how the whole world will see these bodies lying in the street from the two witnesses. It'll be broadcast to the entire world by satellite television. It'll be on CNN. It'll be on Fox News. It'll be on NBC, CBS, ABC. It'll be on all of them. All these things which are possible today were not possible in the past. So now with all these things in mind, all these prophecies that we've looked at, how should we proceed? How should we go forward from here? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to finish here, starting in verse 42. Again, in verse 21 and 22, we see that Christ is returning to save the elect. Who's the elect? We are. Peggy is. She just raised her hand. Verse 42. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known of at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. We don't know exactly when Jesus is returning, do we? No, we don't. It could be still quite far off. But of course, it could be very, very close. Because you know what? Any one of us in this room this morning could walk right out those doors, have an accident. That's it. That's the end of your life. That quick. That quick. Just like Dean always says, could be a heartbeat away. You know, I think when we look at Bible prophecy, I think the only way that we can really approach it is be spiritually prepared always at any moment for Christ's return or for the end of our lives. And be physically prepared as if it's a long ways off. That's the only way that we can. We have to be prepared spiritually, but physically we have to plan on retiring or living till we're 85, 95, 105. Physically, that's what we have to do. Because we don't know when Jesus is coming. But you know what? When we look at some of these prophecies, many of these prophecies, we have to realize that we see today all the nations lining up in such a way that these end time prophecies can come true very, very quickly in the day and age we live in. So we need to be spiritually prepared. At the same time, we need to be physically prepared to go the distance just like people for the last 2,000 years have done. You know the whole message of Bible prophecy? You can sum it up like this. In the end, Christ is returning to this earth. He's going to raise the dead in Him. And that generation, which could be ours, will be changed in a moment to everlasting. And His Father's kingdom will be set up on this earth. And if we are faithful, we will be kings and priests in that kingdom. Praise God for letting us know these things ahead of time. You know, as we prepare for communion this morning, I want us to think back to the words that Jesus said on that final Passover. He took the cup and He said, I will not drink from this cup again until My Father's kingdom. If we remain faithful, we will be there to drink anew with our Lord sitting beside us. Come, Lord Jesus.